The Broken Twig Podcast with your hosts, Nobs and Hirsty.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the newest episode of the Broken Twig Podcast. Everybody, if you're listening to this, remember to follow us on Instagram and Twitter at the Broken Twig Podcast, and let's get right into it. So, Hirsty, how are you doing today?
It's a nice day outside. It's snowing, it's freezing cold, and there's another 12:30 hockey game.
Yeah. Well, we can talk about that later. But first, I'd just like to talk about something that happened to me a few days ago. Oh, and it's an experience that I would like to share with all of you, all of our listeners. And that is that, so in the game, you all watched that game, how Joe Thornton, he had that goal near the end of the first period where he tried to push the puck in the net, but they waved it off and everything. So I tweeted about how it should be a goal because he was only touching the puck. So it's not like he pushed Matt Murray into the net. But then a Sens fan who has like 1.7K followers quote tweeted that, making fun of me. And now I got very hardly ratioed with that tweet and stuff, and I got a whole bunch of comments calling me a clown. So I just like to share the experience because now I can say I'm officially immersed in the Twitter experience.
Yeah, and to add on to that, not about your Twitter thing, which I don't really care about, but I think that rule is quite stupid. The whole point of it is to quote protect the goalie, but pushing a goalie's pad back 3 feet with your stick isn't going to hurt anybody.
I see the purpose of the rule, just that I think that if you're only touching the puck, it should be fine. You're just trying to force the puck in. I can't see how it will complicate if you're like pushing someone's pad in or trying to like forcefully push the goalie into the net. But
is there a single person who honestly thought that Matt Murray could have got hurt there? Like, Senators fans were probably hoping he would get hurt, but no, I don't think anyone thinks you could have got hurt there. It just,
yeah. Well, I think it just got, I can see how a player could get, how a goalie could get hurt in that scenario, but I still don't really agree with that.
Oh, yeah.
So, all right.
Also today is the debut of Nico Hischier, who is going to carry the Devils to the playoffs along with Mackenzie Blackwood.
The new captain, Nico Hischier, by the way.
He's playing his first game tonight of the season after having a leg injury that really affected him in the offseason and missed a lot of games, and then the whole team had COVID. So, yeah, so they're finally playing. New Jersey is actually playing really well. They are going to make the playoffs and make it to at least the second round, like I said. And I know they will because this team is sick.
And just to piggyback off that, dear, Mackenzie Blackwood this year has a 5-on-5 save percentage of 972. That is good for first in the entire league.
Yeah, so probably first by a lot.
Yeah, he's first by... The second place person, it has a 960 5-on-5 save percentage. Oh. Now, Hirsty, that person is actually Jake Allen, goalie of your Montreal Canadiens, which I'm kind of surprised about, but yeah.
Yeah, people were saying that would be priced, but yeah, I don't know much about
Mackenzie Blackwood. He's also third in goals saved above average. Which basically
only played 5 games, but he hasn't had a game below 920 save percentage.
Yeah,
pretty amazing.
You know, before I've been saying that Carter Hart's the better goalie all along, but I may have to switch up because your boy Mackenzie Blackwood's been amazing. He could very well win the Vezina this year.
Oh, absolutely, he will.
Yeah. Well, he'll have to beat out some great names like Kevin Lankinen and Andrei Vasilevskiy. I feel like Vasilevskiy, though, he's also been amazing. But I feel like if it's a tight race between Blackwell and Vasilevskiy, Vasilevskiy will probably win it just because all the old hockey heads and stuff, you still think wins are a good goalie stat. Let's be like, oh, he has more wins. Let's give it to him.
I mean, Blackwell was, he's still like, he still has wins. He hasn't lost in regulation yet.
Yeah, but Tampa's a better team than New Jersey, so like Vasilevskiy is going to end up with more wins than Blackwell.
A bit of a difference between Hedman, Sergachev, McDonough,
Point, Kucher, Benson. Hedman's,
Hedman, yeah. McDonough,
Sergachev, Ruta,
yeah, compared to Subban, Severson, and Ryan Murray,
and Will Butcher.
Oh, yeah, breakout star Will Butcher.
Well, you know, I know that it may seem like I'm always right, but I'm not always right. Not all of us are perfect, Hirsty.
No.
You of all people should know that.
Thanks.
You're welcome. And all.
New Jersey's doing great, and recently they just beat the Rangers, a struggling Rangers team with an injured, not injured. Well, he basically is injured based on his meaningless impact on the ice, and especially compared to last year where he had absurdly high shooting percentage, and that's Mika Zibanejad, who, correct me if I'm wrong, only has one goal this year.
Mika Zibanejad, he's very far. Yes, he only has one goal and 3 points in 15 games.
Yeah, so I think both of us said, like a lot of people were saying he was going to step back, and I kind of knew he was going to step back pretty far, but this is a bit extreme.
Yeah, well, this year, you said last year he had a very weird shooting percentage. This year his shooting percentage is only 2.3, so that should definitely go up.
Yeah, maybe, except... Can you, one sec. I'm just trying to look up his shooting percentage from last year. My computer wasn't so slow.
Zibanejad, here, I can. Yeah, his shooting percentage from last year
was, wow.
Thank it was 19.7.
For not telling me. 19.7, and what is it this year?
2.3.
Yikes.
And his career shooting percentage is 12.6.
That's not good.
Yeah. And he definitely will improve.
Playing that great.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So, Rangers fans, that is among one of your boatload of concerns right now. Another one should be that... An undrafted goaltender has more points than the first overall pick.
Well, to be fair, he is rocking a very bad 0.974 PDO. For everyone who doesn't know, so he has 0.974 PDO. A good it's PDO, it's just on-ice save percentage plus on-ice shooting percentage. So that means that normally if a player's PDO is hot, so that means that, like, a PDO of 1 is league average. If your PDO is like 1.5, it means that most that you've just been getting pretty lucky. If your PDO is like 9 points, like if it's like 1.2, that means that you've been getting pretty lucky. And then if your PDO is like 9.7, that means that you've been getting extremely unlucky. So he has been getting unlucky, but still this year hasn't been great. Like his expected goals hasn't
been great.
His expected goals for percentage is only 42%, which is really bad.
New Jersey's team, and I've been talking them up so much, but how are you going to lose to a team that hasn't played in 3 weeks? Like, what? The Rangers, hello, how do you lose? They hadn't played a game in 3 weeks. Half their players weren't playing, weren't even practicing.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate for the Rangers fans. And
yeah, I thought that the Rangers would be really good this year. They have thoroughly disappointed me.
They are the worst team. Who? Is the Devils the best team in, like, the New York, New Jersey area?
Speaking of the Devils, they just got scored on by Colin Miller, who is a member of another New York area team, the Buffalo Sabres.
Buffalo Sabres suck, and, you know.
And they are currently beating the New Jersey Devils.
Okay, but they are kind of dominating, so not dominating. It was kind of lucky.
Sure. Well, anyways, I would like to continue that discussion. So, yeah, the other two competitors for that position of best team, like that area, like New York, New Jersey, would be the Islanders and the Rangers. Rangers haven't really looked so good so far this year, so I don't really know. And Islanders, they definitely have less skill on paper than the Devils, but the thing is, like, they play a system that really favors not as good teams.
The Islanders have less skill on paper than my minor league hockey team.
That is very true, but unlike the Islanders, are ahead of the Devils too, but they have played five more games.
I'm very offended. So for the top teams in New York, New Jersey, Buffalo, like that area, number one right now, in my opinion, New Jersey. Number two, Rochester Americans. Number three, Buffalo Sabres. I'm just kidding. And number three, New York Rangers. Buffalo Sabres. Number five, New York, fourth line, best fourth line in the league, Island.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Though I probably would all, you know, like there's a few other teams, though, that you would have, you know, like, what about like Birmingham Senators? I know they haven't played in like 5 years, but I think that they could be a very solid competitor for that title. Same with the Utica Comets.
Don't forget the Binghamton Comets.
Yeah. But yeah, in all seriousness, for my list of top, like the top four teams in that area, I'd probably go number one, Islanders, number two, Devils, number three, Rangers, and then number four, Sabres.
I don't know. The Devils are only, they're 5 points behind the Islanders, but they have five games in hand.
Yeah, but the Devils have just been on a very good hot streak, and I just feel like Islanders, I just can't count them out. Because you always think the Islanders are like, oh, they're going to start sucking. Like, this is when they're going to start sucking. This is when they're going to start sucking. But they just never start sucking.
They are sucking right now, actually. And, you know, if you don't think they're sucking, then you're sucking too.
Well, they're fourth in their division.
Yeah, when they've played more games than everyone else.
That's not, that is true. They've played the most games in their division. But still, like, I just feel like, right, I don't want to discount the Islanders because they're always doing that, and then they're going to end up, like, beating the Leafs or something in the playoffs.
They would have to play the Leafs in the cup finals to beat them in the playoffs.
Or the semifinals.
No, the semifinals, they play the Avalanche division, don't they?
I actually have no idea how the playoffs work past the first two rounds.
I'm pretty sure it's Central against North Division, or not Central, West and North, I think, and then East and Central. I'm fairly certain that's what it is.
I honestly have no idea, so I don't know. But yeah, the Islanders, they just, I don't know, I feel like I can never discount Barry Trotz and his system. And I just don't want to sleep on them. Once the Islanders, they very well could follow the stuff. But the Devils, they could play like they did last year and just go on like a 7-game losing streak. So I don't want to become too high on the Devils yet off of like 15 games or whatever. Just being a bit cautious. Actually, they've only played 11 games. Like, I don't want to say that the Devils are legit when they've played some of the least amount of games in the entire league. I actually think that they have.
Sleeping on the Devils, buddy. You're saying you're going to sleep. You're sleeping on the Islanders, but not the Devils.
Well, I'm saying I normally sleep on the Islanders, but this year I don't want to.
How many other teams have beat the Bruins twice this year without their number one center?
Well, the Red Wings beat the Bruins twice last year. Does that mean that last year's Red Wings are better than last year's Bruins?
No, that's not what I said. I said how many teams this year have beat the Bruins without their number one center twice?
I don't know. Probably Rangers, Islanders, Leafs, Canadiens, Avalanche, Coyotes. Okay, I don't know. No, but I'm just saying, I'm not going to become too high on a team off of 11 games when they're just like, I just don't really think that they're just overachieving a lot, especially for a team that.
They're annoying ass fans.
Yeah, I know. I don't like the Islanders either, but I like their team. I just don't like their fans or anything like that.
It's not awful. I mean, their system pisses me off, and I'd rather watch paint dry than watch an Islanders game.
But I'd rather watch a U8 House League game than the Islanders.
Yeah, the Islanders is very boring.
Yeah. But I just think that they're better than the Devils right now. Just look at the Devils roster, and I just don't think that they have, like, they have a similar amount of talent as the Islanders, but they just don't have as good of a system. It's really just Blackwood that's been carrying them.
Maybe, but he'll continue to carry them. See, the Islanders, I'm actually, like, honestly, they're a fine team. Just I'm only saying this stuff because I hate their fans, and their fans are super annoying. And, yeah. So I just wanted to say that so people know. But I honestly think the Islanders are not, like, such a great team. Like, they're really – they don't have – their coach is the reason – I know most teams' coaches are the reason for their success, but without Barry Trotz, they're terrible. They would be so bad.
With a stellar second line of Brock Nelson, Jordan Eberle, and Matt Martin. Wait, no, sorry. My bad. Brock Nelson, Jordan Eberle, and Anthony Beauvillier. My bad.
That's a fourth line.
I know.
You say that's anything better than a fourth line.
Yeah, that's
called players that have, wait, you said Matt Martin?
Yeah, I think he's more of like their third liner.
Made look good by players that are on the Leafs right now.
Yeah.
John Tavares made Brock Nelson look good by making him have a good season, statistically.
So you said that you hate the Islanders, right?
No, they're fans.
But you don't. Well, and this, I'll just bring this up. They are paying Brock Nelson $6 million until 2025.
Nice one, guys.
High five, Lou Lamoriello.
Yeah. Islanders fans are so in denial. He's the best GM in the league. It's so funny because that's what Leafs fans were saying too. And then we saw the horrible things he did and we're like, oh, he's terrible. As soon as he left, it was awesome.
Yeah, I'm not denying that Lou Lamoriello's never been a good GM. With New Jersey, he was a good GM. He did a lot of moves, but he's just not that good anymore, and he just doesn't know how to navigate a team under the salary cap.
Yeah, without overpaying bums.
Yeah.
One of those overpaid bums the Leafs somehow escaped from. I don't even know how. They leased Ottawa so hard. Nikita Zaitsev. It's crazy they got out of that six-year terrible contract. All they had to do was have to sacrifice 1 year of Cody Ceci.
Yeah, it's a sacrifice, but a sacrifice well-earned.
Yeah, because now we get to watch Nikita Zaitsev suck on Ottawa.
Uh-huh.
And with the legendary pairing of Zaitsev and M. Riley.
Yeah.
M. Riley sucks so much worse. This M. Riley's almost as bad, if not as bad, as Nikita Zaitsev.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Lou Lamoriello, he's made some questionable decisions. Brock, I didn't even realize that with their second line. Like, that's terrible.
Yeah, I don't think that actually is their second line. That's exaggerating a bit. I'll go to Daily Faceoff. They have good, like, actual line combinations.
William Nelson and someone else.
Yeah.
But William might be on the first line.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh. Who's their centers? Yeah, so...
Oh, okay. No, actually, sorry. I'm just sorry. I just like to apologize. I was wrong there. I made a mistake. Their second line is Anthony Beauvillier, Brock Nelson, and Josh Bailey. Sorry. My bad.
So much better.
I know. Amazing.
What's their third line? Peugeot?
Kiefer Bellows, Jean-Gabriel Peugeot, and Oliver Wahlstrom. Okay, honestly,
and Oliver Wahlstrom are both decent prospects, but they haven't. Either of them has done nothing this year, and so there's that.
And you know how you say that they have four fourth lines? Well, the thing is, their fourth line isn't even good. Matt Martin, Casey Cizikas, and Cal Clutterbuck.
Yeah.
According to Daily Faceoff, that's the 27th best fourth line in the league.
No, I know, but in the summer on the radio, there was this guy gassing them up, having the best fourth line in the league and possibly the best fourth line of all time. So I kind of just have to jump on the opportunity to make fun of it because, like, they were saying, they probably were talking about the first line because that whole team is a fourth line.
Aside from Matthew Barzal and Anders Lee and Jordan Eberle on some nights, that's very true.
Yeah.
And then also the defense core, Adam Pellick, Ryan Pulock, Nick Leddy, Scott Mayfield, and Andy Green and Noah Dobson. And this is the team that thought that they could just get rid of Devin Taves.
Yeah, that was a terrible idea.
Mm-hmm. I definitely agree. It was a pretty bad idea. Well, they had to get rid of him, I guess. But he's been really good so far for Colorado.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They did not have to get rid of him. They should have gotten rid of someone worse. Like, that was...
Well, but no one else won anyone that's worse. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I mean, who knows? Maybe the Islanders will somehow turn it around with that team. But I don't think they're going to make the playoffs.
The thing is, that you look at their team. I don't know why they're not playing Josh Hosang. Like, you really think Matt Martin or Cal Clutterbuck is better?
That's why.
A lot of hockey people that know the sport more than I do say that he deserves a chance. So.
Sure, fine. Say he deserves the chance, but I'm also going to say he sucks. And what was the controversy with him? Didn't he say or do something like he didn't want to play or something like that?
I don't think so. I think they just got labeled as having an attitude problem. But...
Oh, yeah, that's what it was. He had an attitude problem and he sucked. Yeah, that's not a recipe for success.
I know, like, a lot of people think that he's good. And a lot of people think they.
Well,
is there,
NHL people running the team clearly don't.
That's true. And when he was put on waivers, no team got him. So I guess all the other teams think he sucks too.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm gonna check
this year in the SHL, in five games, he only has one point.
In five games. And last year, in a total of 20. He didn't even play a full season with Bridgeport. I don't know if he was injured or they just didn't play him.
No, he got loaned to San Antonio. He must have got injured and they decided because he got loaned to the Stars AHL team too.
In 17-18 and 18-19 with Bridgeport, 17-18, 50 games, 31 points.
That's pretty good.
not bad, you say. But he had 40 penalty minutes and he had 8 goals.
Well, to be honest, it's not even that bad. Like 31 points in 50 games, because the AHL is a lot more low scoring than the NHL. Well,
that's not true.
Yes, it is.
Well, I watched one Marlies game and the score was like 6-3.
Well, actually, this what I meant more was that the scoring, it's like spread out a lot more along the players. Like in the NHL, they play their star players a lot more and they give them so much ice time. In the AHL, it's a lot more even and stuff, and it's a lot more harder for like one player to get a lot of. Like that year in the OHL, and I mean in the AHL, the leading scorer only had 71 points.
Yeah,
it wasn't 62 games, but still.
The next year, 56 games, he had 43 points, but also 8 goals. Like, I don't know.
And I think that it seems like after that, he's like, whatever, I'm not getting like a chance. And it seemed like he's kind of stopped. Like last year, he wasn't even bad. He had 10 points in 16 games for when playing for Bridgeport. But it seems like he's just like, eh, whatever. Like, he's decided to stop caring.
Problems there off the ice.
I don't agree with that. I don't see how another team hasn't been like, you know, he is a high pick. Let's just get him and see how if he's actually good.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying there's probably a lot of issues off the ice.
Yeah, I guess you never know what's happening behind closed doors, so.
Well, he sucks, and like I said before, he sucks, and he has an attitude problem, and there's possible other bad things that he has off the ice. So he's probably never going to have a NHL role.
Yeah, unless he goes to a different team.
How old is he now? He's got to be like 26 now.
25.
He's 25. 25, and he hasn't even played. He's played less than 60 games in the NHL.
Yeah. But okay, but what my point is that you really think that Matt Martin and Cal Clutterbuck are better than Josh Hosang? Like, just give him a chance.
I don't think they should, because if there's an attitude problem, they shouldn't do that at all. That's a bad idea.
I don't really agree with you. I think I personally like when teams actually give players a chance instead of just banishing them to the AHL, but that's just me.
In 16, 17, and 17, 18, he played 20 games both years, played over 20 games.
And he was pretty good in those 20 games.
I mean, he was okay. He was okay.
But he was pretty good,
I guess, stats-wise. But then when you have an attitude problem and you don't want to play for the team and stuff, and then nobody claims you on waivers and all this stuff happens, spirals. So, yeah.
Okay, well, final check. Like, I don't see where you're coming from. I think that he deserves a chance.
Maybe, but they gave him a shot already, did they not?
I don't think it was a fair shot. A lot of people say that in those times, like when he got called up, he barely got any ice time too.
Well, that's too bad for him. But he's now in the SHL, so he's probably never going to play an NHL game again.
Yeah, he got loaned to the SHL. It sounds like I don't really know what his future is with any team in the NHL, though.
Yeah,
but
I don't think he does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Leaf, future Leaf, because he's from Toronto.
Yeah.
It means we got to trade for him, right?
Huh.
He's a high pick.
From Thornhill.
And he's from Toronto, and he sucks. So we have to get him, right? Just like Sam Bennett, we also have to get Sam Bennett.
Every single hot player that's from Toronto is going to Toronto.
And we have to trade Nick Robertson and Kerfoot to get Sam Bennett. So imagine.
What are you talking about? We need to trade William Nylander to get Sam Bennett.
No. According to Nick Kiprios, we have to trade Kerfoot and Nick Robertson. So that would mean Kiprios would probably say we'd have to give up just Nick Robertson for Josh Hosang. Only Nick Robertson, though. It's not
that's a bargain price. Like that's such a I know. We don't even have to give up a first round pick along with it.
Playing the NHL again.
Yeah. You know who else is from Toronto? So the Leafs have to get him.
Connor McDavid.
Well, we all know that Connor McDavid's going to the Leafs. Like, you know, everyone knows that. They have to get Andrew Cogliano. He's from Toronto. Have to get him. Dion Phaneuf. I don't even think he's from Toronto, but he probably is like from Toronto, you know, like in spirit. So they should probably get him. You know what I mean? Yeah. Exactly.
It's not like we already had him and he was the butt end of a massive joke.
Yeah.
Tenure here.
Uh-huh.
What was it called again? Oh, I just had it.
Pylon?
No. Every time the puck would hit him and it would just go in. Like from the point, it would just like bounce off his leg and it would just find a way in. Even if he would be behind the net, it'd still find a way
in. Yeah, you know what's going to happen? And Carlo Colaiacovo, I know he works with TSN, but he's from Toronto. He's going to come out of retirement just to play for the Leafs. And then we won't have to suffer through all of his horrible sports takes anymore.
We might as well just trade William Nylander for Craig Button's rights.
Uh-huh. Yeah. No, he's going to come out of retirement. Then he's going to sign with another team. So then the Leafs are going to trade William Nylander for Carlo Colaiacovo. He would very well love that.
Yeah.
Why is it that whenever a shitty hockey player, coach, or GM, whenever no team wants them, they always become an analyst? Aside from.
Know a lot about the sport, probably.
Yeah, but just because you know a lot about the sport doesn't mean you're a good analyst. Half of them have, like, no charisma or anything.
Yeah, that's true. But I mean.
I'm not talking about Kevin BX though. He's so good.
Stud.
Uh-huh.
And you're not talking about Berkey either.
Yeah, Brian Burke had bad takes, but he was still very entertaining. Kind of like Stephen A. Smith.
Yeah, his takes are off. I hate Stephen A. Smith. He's such a not Steelers fan that says he's a Steelers fan.
I don't really like that format though, like where they just say like hot takes just to get clicks or something, find it very annoying. Like they have good personalities, but so annoying how TV stations they hire guys like that just for like instant clicks and stuff instead of actually having good sports content. Like I don't care about people saying that like Carson Wentz is going to win MVP next year, like Drew Lock is going to become the steal of the draft, or like that. You know, that Lamar Jackson's going to be a bust or like something like that. Like, I want people who actually have good conversation, like, actually have good takes and stuff. And if they have a take, like, a bad take, they don't say it just to get views. They say it because they actually believe it. Then they say the take and they explain, all right, this is why I think so. What annoys me so much is when people say, like, a bad take, like, William Nylander should be traded or something. But then when they're but then they either don't explain why they think so, or when they do explain, they say something that's not true. Like how he doesn't get to the net, which is the most untrue thing ever. He like led the Leafs in net front goals last year. Or they say that like he is soft, when people refer to that, just that sometimes he doesn't really like to hit. But I still don't think that's true. Like he's a 30 goal scorer. So like when they say stuff like that, I'm fine. Like some people say bad takes, like they say like, they don't think that the Leafs are that good. Then they explain. They say, well, I don't think that their depth is that good. Then their goaltending, I just don't think Freddie Anderson's reliable. Now, if someone said that, I wouldn't agree with them. But they said a take. Then they explained it using facts and believable opinions. Or someone else says, like, I think Connor McDavid's a bust. And they say it's because he plays for the Oilers and he's not as good defense. And before he wasn't committed to playing defense, I'd be like, you know what? I agree with you. Connor McDavid is a bust, right? I have no idea where this conversation's going. I'm just saying like whatever I want now.
All right. Well, what I was going to say is Stephen A. Smith, more like Stephen A. Simmons.
No, I don't agree with that at all.
No, Steve Simmons is 100% worse. Literally everything he does is for the sole sake of just clicks, and by talking about him now, we're helping him. So we're going to stop talking. I'm not going to talk about him.
Yeah. Shut up, Percy. Stop talking. All right.
Yeah. So, you know, William Nylander, he's been getting some, what is it? Well, I've forgotten. He's been getting some criticism like he always does. People are scapegoating him because he's William Nylander, and they always have the Leafs fans have to blame everyone. So, yay. Yeah. But not William Nylander, the Leafs' leading goal scorer, Austin Matthews. Will he score 50 goals this year? In the
end, yes.
Probably not, but I'm willing to say he is for the sake of it because I'm a Leafs fan and I want to.
I actually think that he's going to score 50 goals, and this is why. I think that he is an elite goal scorer, and he's shown this year that he's not a one-dimensional goal scorer. He can score however he wants, and he has a lot of different ways that he can do it. And while it may seem like his shooting percentage is a bit high, he's shooting 22.5, which is very high, but it's not even that much higher than like his career average is 16. But like last year, he was like, in his second year, he was shooting 18%. So it'll probably fall down to around 20%, which is really like, that's like an elite goal scorer, like tops of the league in goal scoring is like 20% shooting. So if I don't think that his goal total will even drop that much if his shooting percentage goes down, because he's still a very high volume, he's become a very high volume shooter. So even if his percentage goes down, he'll still be scoring a lot of goals.
Yeah, that's what happens when you're the best goal scorer in the league. You have a high shooting percentage. Like, Matthews probably will win the Rocket. Like, last year, Pasternak had 23 goals in 24 games. People were like, oh, wow, he's going to get 50-50, you know, all this stuff. He didn't. He fell off a bit, but he still won the goal title. And I absolutely think Matthews is going to win it. Pasternak has not scored at the same pace this year, and neither is Ovi. So with that happening, like, the second guy closest to Matthews has 12 goals, and that's Brock Besser. He's played 4 more games than Matthews. And then you have a bunch of guys tied with 10. So I think Matthews is definitely going to finish with the most goals this year. And I think after this year, he will be considered the second best player in the NHL after Connor McDavid. And these two guys will soon be on the same team together when the Leafs get McDavid.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, like, since the lockout – so I was talking about how Matthews, like, how he could go down. Since the lockout season and like, in 2005, out of anyone who scored at least 10 goals in a season since then, like, most of those people saved, like – there's been a lot of examples of players who have actually had very high shooting percentage and managed to keep it out through up entire seasons. Like, Mike Ribeiro had a 25% shooting percentage while playing in 76 games in 2007-2008. Alex Kerfoot played in 79 games and had a 23% shooting percentage. In 17-18. What?
Had an insanely high shooting percentage last year.
Wait, who are you talking about?
Zach Hyman. He had 19.8. It went down a bit, but still, that's really high.
Mm-hmm. But there's been a lot of examples of people who have been able to keep up this pace for like an entire year. So I don't see why Matthews can't, because a lot of the guys that are ahead of him, Matthews is undoubtedly better than they ever were. Like Mike Ribeiro. I'm talking about, like, there's some people who have only played, like, 10 games. I'm just talking about the people who have actually played like, a lot of games. Like, Alex Tanguay, Alex Kerfoot, William Karlsson, Ivan Barbashev, TJ Oshie, like, Peter Prushaw, Paul Byron, Anson Carter. Those people are not better than Matthews. So if they can keep up that high of a shooting percentage for an entire year, I don't see why Matthews can.
Yeah, so
Leon. Yeah,
Matthews, he's looking like really solid season. Now, part of it is, yes, it is a time. Some of it's due to the fact that he plays Vancouver and Ottawa 10 times, but he did this last year too.
And I don't think that that's a valid argument, because a lot of the, aside from the East Division, all the other divisions also have a lot of bad teams. Like the Central Division, aside from Tampa, Dallas, and Carolina, all the other teams kind of suck. I don't care that Florida's had a very hot start to the season. They still suck, and they'll fall back down to the mean. Like, in the West, there's really three good teams and a whole bunch of shitty teams. And one of those shitty teams is going to end up making the playoffs just because. But, yeah, that like, there's just so many mediocre teams in the NHL nowadays that I don't think that that's a solid argument you can make.
Also, you know what's kind of funny?
What?
The Habs have an assistant captain on the taxi squad. Kind of irrelevant to what we are currently talking about, but I just wanted to bring that up before I forgot.
Who?
Paul Byron.
He's an assistant captain?
Yeah, I was kind of surprised by it too. I'm also surprised that he's on their taxi squad. They put their assistant captain on their taxi squad. Really shows how bad.
I think it's because he's been there for a while.
He's been there only for like 4 years.
He's been there since 2015. But yeah, I'd probably think they'd want to give it to someone else. Yeah, that is kind of weird. Why it? I get the part that your captain like shouldn't always be your best players, but.
Jeff Petrie should definitely have an assistant.
Yeah.
100% be an assistant captain. And so should Deneau.
Yeah. Deneau's been there for so long. He should probably have. Same with Brent. Gallagher does have one. But yeah, Deneau should have one. He's been there for a while.
Byron are the assistants and Weber's the captain.
Yeah. Gallagher definitely makes sense. Same with Weber. But
for another team. By the way, another team, they're just like the Islanders, where they're just literally a depth team. They're all four lines are depth.
I do not agree with that. I think that the Habs actually have more star power than the Islanders do. And I think that because they have Nick Suzuki and Tyler Toffoli and Brendan Gallagher, who are all pretty good. And Philip Deneau, he's also pretty good defensively too.
Okay, but Nick Suzuki isn't playing like a star. And neither is Brendan Gallagher. Nick Suzuki has, he's doing pretty well, 12 points in 15 games, which is really good. But, you know, I would say to be a star player, you have to at least be a point per game. And Brendan Gallagher is struggling pretty mightily this year. Actually, not as much as before, but he only has 9 points in 15 games.
That's not bad.
It's not bad.
I mean, like for a third liner, it's pretty good.
Yeah, Max. Totally a third line. they have two young star centers that are supposed to be stars, in Kotkaniemi and Suzuki.
And Jake Evans. So yeah, Kotkaniemi
is very much underperforming this year, I would say. But didn't we
bust
a bad pick? Yeah, bust Kotkaniemi.
Yeah, I don't, by the way, I'm just joking with that. I understand he's only 21, way too early to, like, call him a bust or anything. But I don't know why that, what the Habs were thinking when they decided to play him in the NHL right away, when some people had him projected to go after Rasmus Sandin.
In 100,
which people did. The Hockey News projected him to go after Rasmus Sandin. So
in 130 NHL games, he has. Why don't you guess how many points he has?
I'm gonna say 54.
You're close.
I know he had like 30 something in his first year. I'm gonna say 49. That was actually gonna be my next guess.
Not good for a third overall pick. I know he was rushed and stuff. Not good. So yeah, and whatever. He'll still get better. I don't think he's gonna be as good as people were making him out to be. But yeah.
That's what happens when you pick solely for need. I have a feeling that they did not think he was best player available, but they were. That was the time when they're obsessed with getting a number one center. Say it's like we're getting only centers and stuff. But they probably should have taken Brady Tkachuk or Philip Zadina with that pick instead.
That was 2018, right?
Yeah, and then Barrett Hayden was also there too. He's been hasn't really played that much though, but he was very good for Team Canada.
He has been horrible this year.
Really? Yeah.
He has I think he has 5 points in.
And Quinn Hughes was also up there too. He could help the Habs a lot.
Guys who have been better than Kotkaniemi picked after him: Brady Tkachuk, Philip Zadina, Quinn Hughes,
Adam Boakvist. No, not Boakvist. Joel Farabee.
Joel Farabee, Ty Smith, kind of.
Let's see.
These are all guys who've been better offensively. That's one thing.
Feel like there's some that you're, yeah.
This is a very weak draft class.
Well, it's still very early, 2018.
But you're right, it's still early. But how many of the guys in the second round have NHL roles right now?
Alex Romanov.
One.
Kalen Addison. He can carve out a role.
One NHL game.
David Gustafson played 26 games.
Fine, but there's one guy who's two guys who have played games, and none of them have even played 30 NHL games in the entire second round. Yikes! The entire third round hasn't even played a game yet in the NHL.
Yeah, and then they have John Leonard in the sixth round. He's
one guy who played 18 games, and that's Kurashev. Fifth round, Sharon Govich has played a few. And then the sixth round, John Leonard played a few. So in this draft, there is a total of 12 people that have played over 30 NHL games. It's not been very long, but that's horrible.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. You'd probably expect better from that, but there are it will get better. There are a few players that haven't played yet, but definitely will, like Vitali Kratsov, Gregory Denisenko, Jacob Bernard Docker's been pretty good. Dominic Bach, he's a first rounder. Jesse Yolinen, Habs fans seem to think he'll be good. Not sure if that's true, but yeah, Akil Thomas, he was in that draft. He definitely will be good. I'm a big fan of him. Yeah, hasn't been too good in the AHL so far this year, but
they've had more games. But in the first round alone, there is more people that have played. The 15 players that have played over 30 games, and there are 8 players that have played over 100 games. So, yikes. And this was also known kind of as a weaker draft class, just because the first round was the first few picks were not as good as.
Actually, I don't remember that. Andrei Svechnikov and Rasmus Dahlin were very hyped coming into this draft. And Brady Tkachuk.
2017.
Oh, 2017 has definitely billed as a weaker draft. I remember that. Actually, didn't even turn out to be too bad. Nico Hischier, he's now their captain. Definitely isn't as good as you'd expect from a first overall pick, but he's still been pretty good.
He has a big breakout on the rise. Nolan Patrick had the concussions problem. Heiskanen's been really good. Makar's been really good. Pettersson was really good last year. He sucks this year. Glass is a very highly touted prospect still. Elias Andersson, Mittelstadt, Rasmussen all suck. Hasn't played yet.
Mittelstadt was just, his development was really screwed up. He has rushed into the league, deployed really badly on his team that sucked and stuff. Michael Rasmussen, he's carved out some pretty solid games and stuff. And they have Nekas, Suzuki.
Suzuki's been good. Those guys are both.
Eric Brännström, he's good. I like him. I don't get why the Sens don't play him more. Timothy Liljegren. He's going to be amazing.
Very bad against the Leafs.
What?
He did not play.
Yeah. Then Josh Norris traded for Erik Karlsson and has been very good for his sense.
Ottawa's best rookie this year.
You can on that. I agree with that. Then Robert Thomas, I really like him. Like Philip Hito.
And still hasn't, so I don't know.
Killing your Yamamoto. Pierre Oliver Joseph, he's been really good for the Penguins this year. Ryan Poehling, Christian Vesalainen, Jake Ottinger. He's a goalie, and he's already played in, playing in the NHL. Like, yeah. He's only, like, 21 or 22. Okay. Yeah, and there's some other...
playing playoff games in their, like, 2 years after getting drafted.
Not that many.
I think Matt Murray did that, but... Yeah, so it's a solid draft class. So,
yeah, you also have some steals, too, like Drake Batherson, definitely a steal. The other Sebastian Aho, he was playing in the NHL within, like, 1 or 2 years of being drafted as a fifth-round pick. Like, there's some other, you know, like...
Emil Bemström has played 61 games.
There's also Dylan Ferguson, who was a seventh-round pick in this draft and has already played a game. Same with Caden Primeau, and they're both goalies. Yeah, Dylan Ferguson, that's very weird. He played like one game in the year after he was drafted. What? Okay, this is very weird. Dylan Ferguson, he was drafted in the seventh round. He played 1 year after he was drafted. And oh, yeah, because he's on Vegas that year. And that was like the year where, in their first year, I remember, they had so many goalies that got injured. So they were down to like their fifth goalie or something. So that makes sense. And he had a 500 save percentage in that game. So he probably ended up letting like 3 goals.
Oscar Dansk. Remember, he was like their starter for a bit.
Yeah. But to be fair, it is kind of like he was kind of forced in when he definitely wasn't ready. Like in NHL 20. One term's probably like a 62 overall or something in his one end.
So, yeah, I think we're getting a bit off topic.
I don't think we are. Speaking of NHL 21, there's some in the sixth round. Sasha Chmelevski, he's been such a beast for me so far in NHL 21. He was playing, I got him off waivers. He's so good. He's like an 82 overall playing on my fourth line, putting up like 40 points or something. Then, yeah, I know that no one cares about this, but I would just like...
Andrei Svechnikov. Andrei Svetlikov. Damn, it would have been cool if Carolina drafted him.
Yeah.
Oh, while we're on that, there is actually another Jack Hughes that is a top prospect next year, or 2 years from now, which is really funny.
Yeah, it's the Jack Hughes-niverse.
Yeah, so... New Jersey, I think, is obligated to draft him, right?
I'd have to agree with that.
Yeah, like I don't.
Yeah, just by searching Jack Hughes, there's 1, 2 on the like just on league prospects. I have no idea how good these players are, but there's Jack Hughes. 2001, that's the Devils one. Jack Hughes, 2003, I think that's the one that you're talking about. Jack Hughes, 2000. Jackson Hughes, 2001. Jack Hughes, 1957. Very good prospect. And yeah, Jack Hughes, 2002.
This other Jack Hughes
is a
prospect, which is so cool.
Yeah.
So funny.
Uh-huh.
When's the last time that's happened?
You know, Jack Hughes, 2002. Last year, he's pretty good playing in Pennsylvania High School League. Well, whatever, yeah, I know. But, yeah, there's a lot of Jack Hughes. And then there's also another Jack Hughes that was drafted last year, too.
Okay, well, those are bum Jack Hughes. There's only the Jack Hughes that was first overall, and then this other Jack Hughes who's projected like a top first round, like a mid to high first round pick. So, I mean, I'm not sure what position he is. It won't say, but... if he was like a winger and New Jersey drafts him, they could have the line of Jack Hughes and Jack Hughes.
Yeah, he is forward, it just says.
Yeah, I know.
He probably plays all them. Yeah, he's playing. Yeah, he's a prospect for the 2022 draft. He's a late birthday. Plays for the for the United States, like U18 team, U.S. development program, same as the other Jack Hughes too. But he's a late birthday, so he's committed to playing for Northeastern University.
Oh yeah, Jack Hughes of the future.
Mm-hmm. Jack, and then they also need to get the Jack Hughes that's drafted last draft too. And then they can have a full draft of Jack Hughes's.
Yeah, that would be really confusing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jack Hughes that's draft. Oh wait, this is the wrong Jack. Well, there's another Jackson Hughes that's been sucking so far in like the second and like the level below the USHL, but can't find where's the other Jack Hughes that's drafted last year. Okay, you need to hold on a second here because I'm trying to find the Jack Hughes that was drafted last year. And I cannot find that.
Okay, well, just quickly before Nose finds it, I just want to say everyone go on the Hobie Baker site and vote Vidi Miettinen for the Hobie Baker. Or if you want Cole Caulfield to lose, you vote Colin Bielek just to make Cole Caulfield lose.
Yeah, I always love doing stuff just to piss off Habs fans. And you can too by voting for Jaromir Bielak. Was that how you said?
Colin Bielak.
He plays for the Army.
Where did you get Jaromir from?
I don't know.
Okay. Oh, yeah. As of right now, Colin Bielak is 2.5% ahead of Cole Caulfield in the voting.
Oh, everyone vote Colin Bielak for the Hobie Baker.
And Vidi Miettinen is nowhere to be found.
Yeah, because all the Leafs fans decide to vote for Colin Bielak instead. Just because. Oh,
no. He's still up there. He's number
don't worry. Vidi Miettinen is going to win the Hobie Baker next year.
Yeah.
And Topi Niemela is going to win the Liga Defenseman of the Year. Ronnie Hirvonen, he's going to win Liga Forward of the Year.
Topi can't hurt. Just like every other Leafs top prospect, he is obligated to get injured.
Yeah.
That's the Leafs this year. Sandin hurt. Robertson hurt. Ian Scott hurt. Topi Niemela hurt. Like, oh my God. Leave our prospect alone. And then our team's hurt too. Joe Thornton, not Nick Rupp. I already said him. Wayne Simmons.
Jack Campbell. Travis Sturman.
Hyman's hurt.
Yeah. Well, Hyman, I don't think it's an actual injury. I think it's just like, you know what? Like, the Sens, they kind of suck. Might as well just sit him for it.
Or from, like, a shot. From a shot block.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Mm-hmm. Then I also saw that Zach Bogosian might be hurt too.
No, he's just resting, I thought.
Really? Because when I was looking at the Islanders' lines on Daily Faceoff, it says updates at the bottom. It says Zach Bogosian injury. I'll see.
He said that because they just assumed that because he wasn't playing.
Yeah, I'm clicking on it, but. Yeah, it says that it's not actually serious. He's going to be back in the lineup.
Good.
Okay, and it says that Lettinen will be a healthy scratch, too. All right.
Oh, no. It says Hyman's day-to-day still. That's not good.
Uh-huh. No, it says that he'll be, according to Daily Faceoff, he should be back in the lineup.
Sure hope so.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It would be rough without him. He's really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, well, do you think that this is a good time to end the episode here?
We could. Or we can go over some funny mock trades.
I always love going over some funny mock trades. Let's go.
Morgan Rielly, so maybe we could talk about this next time, but we're not sure if we're going to keep him, you know, like he's a free agent this year. If you had the option to trade Morgan Rielly for Brett Pesce in a pick, would you do it right now?
What's the pick?
It's a pick that makes it fair.
So like a first or a third or a fifth? There's a big difference.
It would probably be like I don't even know. I think it would just have to be a one-for-one. One-for-one, would you do it?
No. Brett Pesce is not a number one defenseman. Morgan Rielly is. No way I'm doing that. And also, this should be a fun episode, by the way, because looking at this, it seems like pretty much every single one of these mock trades, the Sabres are involved in it. So shouldn't we go on to Jack Eichel's going around? Seems like pretty much every trade is either the Sabres or the Leafs.
What's his name? Pesci's been really good this year. Just wanted to let
Yeah, I know. Morgan Rielly is the Leafs' number one defenseman. I don't see why you... I know that Rielly hasn't been too good so far this year, but I like Rielly, and I think that's dumb that people are trying to run him out of town.
I don't like him, but is it the right decision to keep him? Like, if
yes.
you
have
the option, would you do... Oh
my God. Well, is it... Well, it depends. Morgan Rielly for Zach. I mean, Morgan Rielly for Victor Hedman, I'd do it. Morgan Rielly for Brett Pesci, no way.
What about for Brett Pesci plus a pick? Because remember, you get Brett Pesci for an extra 3 years.
I honestly don't care about that contract. Leafs are trying to win now. I'd just rather have the better player now, and Riley's the better player now.
Is Rielly the better player now, though? Not defensively. Not at all.
Oregon, people like you are the reason why players never want to go to Toronto.
What? Well, I love Morgan Rielly. I'm just saying, his defense is not helping the Leafs.
I think that you just have to wait a bit for him to turn it around.
You say Morgan Rielly is better than Brett Pesci?
Then yes.
Explain to me why, one sec, why Brett Pesci has... One sec. His market value is $1.5 million higher.
That, are you talking about HB Analytica? The market value for that's flawed.
Okay, fine, it's flawed. But five on.
And
five,
also, that's just for one. That's just because I admitted Rielly hasn't been so good so far this year. But if you look at like last year, he was real.
Brett Pesci has a higher goals for a higher goals for, higher expected goals for, higher expected goals against, and better expected shots against. And he has, Rielly has higher shooting talent.
But that's also in a lot, like, that's also in a lot less minutes, too.
Brett Pesci is more effective, has been more effective, 5-on-5, and more effective, or he doesn't play penalty kill, but he's been really good on the penalty kill. And they've been averaging around the same ice time. So, just saying.
No, I'd still run there.
Because Rielly is hurting us defensively. And
just wait for him.
What do you mean wait for him? Look, if we trade Rielly, we play first pair. We have Muzzin Hall, second pair, Dermot Brody, third pair. Pesci Bogosian. Everyone who's listening to this is going to hate for that. Okay, let's look at the mock trades.
Let's go. See what all the dumb people are. All right, I'll go all. Kings go all in for a superstar. Guess I'm going to guess this is for Jack Eichel. Jack Eichel and a fourth round pick for Alex Turcotte, Martin Furk, a first and a second. First of all, Jack Eichel, it's said here. Jack Eichel is a superstar. If you want a superstar, look at NBA's example. You are going to have to give up a top prospect plus at least two other first-round picks and maybe a roster player as well. And that's just at the minimum. Alex Turcotte, great prospect, maybe a very good NHL player, but you need to give up more for him. And plus also that first-round pick, it may be high, but the Kings do play in a pretty bad division. I could easily see them sneaking into that fourth playoff spot. So this is not a good deal of cutting at all. Secondly, the Kings, they do not need Jack Eichel, and I do not see why they would trade their first. When I said they could sneak into the playoffs, they also don't have a great team. They can end up sucking and getting a very high lottery pick.
Yeah. Not anyways, I found a trade. This is involving the Melander Kerfoot problem. Not William Nylander, William Melander. Okay? So it's William Melander, Travis Dermott, Kerfoot, Barabanov, a 2022 third and a 2023 second for Hall, Montour, Cousins, a second and a third. First of all, I don't think Buffalo would do this. I don't know why they'd give up their top prospect.
So what's the trade again?
In terms of trade value, I would say this is pretty even. The Leafs are probably giving up a bit more value than I'd want. But because it's Hall, Montour, Dylan Cousins, the second and the third, for Nylander, Dermott, Kerfoot, and Barabanov, and a second and a third. I would say Nylander for Cousins.
I've said it before. I don't get what everyone's obsession is with trading William Nylander. But anyways,
and I think
Leafs don't need Dylan Cousins. He'll be great one day, but Leafs, if they're going to look for someone, they probably want someone that could help immediately. The Leafs would probably have to give up more if they're going to get Dylan Cousins has the same value as Dermott, Kerfoot, and Barabanov. And I'd probably say that I'd rather have William Nylander than Taylor Hall.
Yeah, because Taylor Hall's a free agent and the Leafs aren't going to sign him. But no. This is a bad deal for Buffalo. It's also a bad deal for Toronto, too. So, you know, we don't need to talk about it. Leafs get their winger. Ooh, I like this one. It's a bit of an overpay, but I like it. Taylor Hall for Engvall, Kerfoot, Liljegren in a first.
Taylor Hall for...
I like the deal.
Engvall, Kerfoot, Liljegren in a first.
That's a bit of an overpay for a rental. Normally, like, maybe you'd have to give up that. I feel like you wouldn't have to give up Liljegren there, though. You see what the Hall was traded for last time?
Kevin Hall,
a bag of pucks, and...
A first.
Round picks. No, there was no first, I don't think.
Yeah, well, I have another trade, too. It says, Isles go all in for Eichel. Kind of like the Leafs trades are kind of boring. It's always like William Nylander for some bad play or something. I like the Eichel trades. Those are kind of fun. It says, Josh Bailey, Nick Leddy, 2021 first, 2021 third, 2022 first, 2022 second via Colorado, and 2022 fifth. So it's Josh Bailey, and then the Sabres also give up a seventh. So it's Jack Eichel in the seventh for Josh Bailey, Nick Leddy, a first, two firsts, a second, a third, and a fifth.
Yeah.
I do not think this would cut it. Josh Bailey and Nick Leddy, they're okay, but I don't really know if Buffalo needs them. They're kind of capped up. It's not really – like, they don't really have much value nowadays, especially with how close every team is to the cap. They're just really more dead weight on the Sabres payroll than the first. You really need to give up more. Like, a two – if you're going to give up only – if you only want to give up two first-round picks, I understand it, but you need to give up another top prospect, too, to make it worth.
Yeah. Here I found there's two different trades here, all right? This is by they're both called If Dubas Wipes His Glasses.
Oh, boy, this is going to be good.
This is not – the first one is Dumba Greenway, Carson Soucy, and a third-round pick for Anderson and Nylander.
I told you, all of the Leafs trades are William Nylander for some, like, second or third pair on defensemen, and sometimes they throw in some other stuff, too. But then the thing is
– Nylander, it's our starting goalie, too.
Yeah, but if they're trading Freddie Anderson, but they're not getting a goalie back. So they just basically have their tandem now is Jack Campbell and Michael Hutchinson.
Okay, so you don't like that, right?
Yeah.
Now listen to this. Fifth-round pick and Ilya Mikheyev for Justin Dowling, Issa Lindell in a 2021 second. What do you think?
So what was the trade again?
Ilya Mikheyev and a 2021 fifth for a 2021 second, Issa Lindell and Justin Dowling.
Hold on, just wait a second. And my dad just came and said, so Mike Babcock is going to be the head coach of the University of Saskatchewan. That was just announced from Darren Dreger. So I thought he was going to be working at NBC, I guess, but he's getting back into coaching then.
So now Ilya Mikheyev and a fifth for a second.
Okay, well, I just, so he's fouling.
What do you think?
You don't want to talk about the Mike Babcock getting hired to coach University of Saskatchewan or anything? Him coaching?
I don't want to talk about Mike Babcock whatsoever. What's there to talk about other than what we've talked about before? He's not someone that should be coaching anything anymore.
I do not agree with that. I don't think he should be banned from coaching. Well, I don't think he's – well, I don't think he's a good coach anymore. Or I just think – okay, but he's been a good coach before. He's won a cup. University of Saskatchewan. It's not like an NHL team or anything. So I don't see like why they wouldn't try and hire him. I don't really see why he would do it though. He was set to work at NBC. Like that's pretty good. And University of Saskatchewan. I don't know if it's true, but I'm just gonna guess based on everything that you're probably making a lot less coaching for them than you would working at NBC, which is one of the largest media companies in the entire world. So, and if he goes through the media and goes well, no other big scandal erupts, he could probably get another NHL team to hire him, maybe as an assistant or something, or even as a head coach. So I don't really see why he'd want to coach at University of Saskatchewan. I see why the university would want to hire him, but I don't really see why he'd want to work there.
Yeah. All right, should we go back to the trade?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's Ilya Mikheyev in a fifth-round pick for Justin Dowling, Issa Lindell in a 2021 second. What do you think?
I don't think that's enough because, Issa Lindell, although he is kind of overrated, he's still pretty good and definitely has high value. And you also give up Justin Dowling. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think he's like a C-plus prospect, isn't he?
All right, fine. So it's not enough? Well, then how about you add in Morgan Riley?
Oh, well, you were the one that wanted to trade Morgan Riley, and you get...
It would be for a top four defenseman who's got a really good, who's a good two-way defenseman. This guy thinks Issa Lindell is not good. He should be playing soccer. He's a flopper.
Yeah, and then Justin Dowling, he's a C-plus prospect. The second-round pick, which Kyle Dubas is good at drafting, so if I was him, I'd want to get as many picks as possible. But still, this is definitely not enough for someone that got 72 points just 2 years ago.
The guy in the comments, he actually was trying to justify these trades.
Yeah.
Everyone was bullying him because they're terrible.
I know, real Kenna, he's always, whenever you see a bad trade, there's always real Kenna in the comments saying about how it's bad trade. He said, what do you got? So the creator, he says, what do you guys think? More to come. And then real Kenna, he says, 0 out of 10. So then Mike, the guy that actually made the trade, he responds to that and said, you must have one hell of a heart for Riley. Lindell is a real defenseman. He doesn't hang around picking his rear end in front of the net. Riley is only good at one end of the ice. And then he also said separately, I'm noticing people have a real attachment to Leafs players as if they're told they'd be flawless, which they were. They are deeply flawed. Unless big moves, they are wasting a lot of careers. Sorry to be blunt. Then Neil Kenna says, he responds to that saying, I'm not a Leafs fan. Lindell and Mikheyev are not for trade. And then someone else said, and then another person responded to Mike's, the person that made the post saying that people have the attachment to Leafs players and whatever. And he said, you are definitely a Leafs hater. The Leafs are first in the league right now. And they're a team that could win the cup. Trading Riley would run Dubas out of Toronto, which I agree. Because it was also not stated enough how Riley, the impact he has in the dressing room, many people thought he should be captain. He's been with the Leafs for so long. I really think would do a lot if he is just trading out of Toronto, if it's not for a very sizable return. Even if you think that he's not that good defensively and stuff, I just don't think how it'd serve Toronto to just trade him, or at least I just think it would send a very negative message to all the players by trading someone. Your assistant captain, he's been with your team for so long. Definitely a good locker room guy. Everyone probably loves him. He's involved a lot with the team. He helped announce the the Leafs draft pick when they drafted Rody and Amirov. So, I just, yeah. Everybody, I'd just like to say bye to all of you. Remember to follow us on Instagram and Twitter at the Broken Twig Podcast. We hope you enjoyed. Tell all your friends about how great we are. Goodbye.